The final few frames raise some questions which will be answered later in the course. So move on to frame 22. Here, we've taken a strictly increasing function and reflected its graph in the line y equals x. This has the effect of interchanging the x and y coordinates. So, using the x dash y dashed approach, we have x dashed equals y and y dashed equals x. The original equation y equals f of x becomes x dashed equals f of y dashed, or, dropping the dashes, x equals f of y. But do we end up with the graph of a function? The answer is yes, because the function we started with on the left is strictly increasing. This means that each horizontal line on the left meets the graph at most once, and so each vertical line on the right meets the graph at most once, and this is what we require for it to be the graph of a function. The function on the right undoes the action of the original function, so we call it the inverse of f and denote it by f to the minus 1. This is another idea that is a bit hard to consider in the abstract, so let's look at two familiar examples in frame 23. The first is the exponential function, with rule f of x equals e to the x. When we reflect this graph in the line y equals x, we obtain the graph shown on the right. This is the graph of the natural logarithm function, log to the base e, which is the inverse of this exponential function. Indeed, log to the base e of x is the power that e must be raised to obtain x. Notice on the right that log to the base e of 1 is 0. This corresponds to the fact on the left that e to the power 0 is 1. Now look at the second example. This time, we've taken the function with rule f of x equals x squared and restricted the domain to the positive x-axis. We've done this so that the resulting function f is strictly increasing. Now, if we reflect just this right-hand half of the parabola, we obtain the graph y equals the square root of x. This is because the function with rule g of x equals the square root of x is the inverse of the function f of x equals x squared. Actually, these statements about inverse functions are making some major assumptions. For example, we have taken for granted that if x is a positive real number, then both log to the base e of x and the square root of x exist. This may seem obvious, but these are among the facts about functions which we shall investigate more closely in the analysis blocks. There we shall also investigate which functions have inverse functions. For example, do the trigonometric functions have them? To answer such questions, we shall need to study the properties of real numbers and real functions very closely. Look at frame 24. We're going to be particularly interested in so-called well-behaved functions, those whose graphs have nice characteristics, with no sharp corners and no jumps. We tend to assume that most functions are well-behaved in this way, but you have met some functions whose graphs do have corners or jumps, like our earlier examples of the modulus function and the integer part function. Turn to frame 9 again and identify which of the graphs there have corners and which have jumps. I'm sure you found it very easy to determine which graphs in frame 9 have corners or jumps. But actually, working only from sketches might not be enough. Look at the graph in frame 25, the graph y equals 2 to the x. It looks nice and smooth with no corners and no jumps. Well, it doesn't seem to have any jumps, but are you absolutely sure? What happens, for example, when x equals root 2? Indeed, what do we mean by 2 to the root 2? If it's not defined, then there would be a gap in the graph at the point root 2. Well, rest assured that 2 to the root 2 is defined, and you'll see one way to do this in Analysis Block A. But even when you know this, there is still the question of whether there might be a jump in the graph of this function at root 2, or indeed at any other point of R. You may think this is unlikely, but how can you be sure?